Log Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to this selection of The Man's Voice. As we get ready for the holidays, we're here to talk about things that you don't really hear men talking about a lot, but you would like to see what's in their mind. So we're all here and we have a couple of people online right now. The rest of the members are probably doing things for the holidays, I would hope. But anyway, I wanted to get started with the show. You know, one of the things we are really connected to right now is the vaccine. Wait, there comes everybody. Here comes Spencer. There comes Jeremiah. The vaccine and what's going on with the vaccine. I mean, now there are two vaccines. And the CDC just released comments like the next go round would be they're going to prioritize older adults and frontline workers to receive the COVID-19 vaccines in the next phase. But there's a lot of comments from Pfizer that I was surprised that Pfizer is actually saying, we don't know why the vaccine took so long to get out. We had it here ready to go. We couldn't get the White House to work with us on getting it out to the people. But anyway, what are your thoughts on, Ron, what are your thoughts on the vaccine getting out? Who should use it? What we should do with it? And the whole thing is we have another pandemic brewing over in Europe. Let's talk about the vaccine. What are your thoughts?
Well, I have lots of thoughts. This whole pandemic story, it's the kind of story that it's whether you look at it as the half glass, the glass half full or half empty. I think it's great news that we have the Pfizer vaccine, and now the FDA has also approved the second vaccine, and I think we're still the only country in the world where two vaccines have been approved. The other one is Moderna. And they're both almost identical. So that's the good news. The bad news is that we're losing the equivalent of a 9/11 in terms of number of Americans that are dying almost on a daily basis now, which is, to me, incomprehensible. I mean, to think that about 3,000 Americans, in some cases even more than 3,000 Americans, are losing their lives every day, all because of the, in my opinion, the ineptitude of our leadership, is just unacceptable. And I know that this pandemic, you know, you said Europe is going through a bit of a crisis right now, and they're locking down in several countries and canceling Christmas, so to speak, because there's a new strain of the virus, which, by the way, they're saying might come to the U.S., but I know we'll talk about that later, but I'm happy for the vaccine, but I am furious at certain aspects of it. One is that I saw a story today that Japan ordered enough vaccine, and I'm sure it's the Pfizer one, for every single Japanese citizen. We, on the other hand, Pfizer being an American company, have a fraction of the vaccines that we need, you know, to cover every single American, and the dates keep changing. You know, the last I heard before today was that most Americans, whoever wants to be vaccinated, would have access to a vaccine in March or April. this morning I heard that it could be late summer, maybe even early fall, you know. So I don't know what's going on. I know it's all stems from the lack of leadership from the top. And in fact, this morning I was watching one of the news shows, and it was the former chief of staff, I believe, of the CDC, and another colleague of his who resigned. And I couldn't believe my ears. They were saying that the White House was basically telling them that they can't tell the public the real truth, and they were whitewashing everything that was getting out to us, the public, the American public. And to me, that's no better than any other dictator in China, Russia, whatever country has dictators where they control the information that gets out to the general public. So I'm furious about that. I'm furious that there's not enough vaccine for all Americans, at least in the first few months. And I'm furious that we're losing so many people a day. It's just unacceptable.
Right. So, Michael, what are your thoughts?
First, man, I'm very happy to see that the vaccine is out there. I'm very happy as an American because it was an American company that developed. I'm very proud of American ingenuity and how we're going about getting it out. I mean, that makes me very proud as an American to know that we defeated this virus once we finally defeated it. But like Ron, I got a lot of negative comments and a lot of negative things to say about it. First, I thought deep on this, David. If China released this virus, which it looks like they did, and there's another strand brewing up in England, as you guys heard, that we're hearing about, what if China is using these viruses as some sort of chemical weapon of mass destruction? And what if that's their way of, that's their new weapons for war? If they can conquer up viruses quickly like that and throw them out into the system of their enemies and see how many casualties they had, I mean, just... I know it sounds kind of like cuckoo out there a little bit, but I'm just thinking forward here. Like, how many of these viruses are we going to see moving forward coming out of China, I guess, is the question I'm asking.
Wow. Why don't you pick up on that, Spencer? What do you think? Spencer.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
Wow. It's... That's a crazy theory to even think of, but I would just like to say I'm glad the vaccine is out also. I guess I'm trying to understand is why didn't it all come out at once? And from what I heard over the was Thursday and Friday, that all the states are going to be receiving 40% less than what they was initially thought they was going to get. Like Georgia, I think the first doses was only like 8,000. You know, I think that's kind of low for even the metro area that has a population over 1.7 million people. And instead of receiving, I think it was 90,000, we're only getting 60,000 doses. So I want to know why is it all so small, the quantity. And like one of the gentlemen said, if they already, or like you said, if they had all this already, why didn't they make enough all at once and just disperse it? You know, why is there so low quantity given out to all the states and things of that nature? I guess that's my question is why is it so many small doses and why is it we're not getting any at a fast pace?
Because the foreign countries came in and bought up. They had the foreign countries were given first priority other than the American countries, my understanding, when you look at the news. What are your thoughts on that, Jeremiah?
Why would we give – my question is, I just heard what you said, but I'm not understanding. Why would we give foreign countries a first take at our vaccine that we created in the United States, and we have to care for our people before we let anyone else care for their people? I think that's insane. I hope that we do something to, if there's any way to have another company help Pfizer produce more, because I, you only could, you know, I know it's machines that are making these, high volume of vaccines per day. So maybe they should subcontract another pharmaceutical-like company to assist them. And maybe some of the profits they have to kiss away, but still, it's about making us safer sooner.
But there is, there's another vaccine on the market that's coming out. So there's two. There are two companies that are supplying vaccines, two different companies right now. So
yeah, Moderna. The other company is called Moderna.
Right. And
Moderna.
There should be no way that people in the United States are not getting one free shots or free vaccines, in my opinion. And they should be ready for everyone. So the next go round, because right now, the farmers and the farmers, firemen, and are all trying to jockey themselves as first in line. And I don't know how the farmers, firefighters, and flight attendants are jockeying to be the vaccine priority people. And I don't know who's making the decision who gets who what first. But I do know that when it came out, you know, it was heading toward all the states. The states are marking it down. So we're really, and everyone in the White House is saying it's kind of a messy rollout. The rollout wasn't very well put together.
David, I can
understand firefighters, though. I can understand them receiving the vaccine, just like, you know, nurses or doctors. I can understand that, David.
But it's firefighters, farm workers, and flight attendants. Their unions are all pushing for them to be first in line. I don't know why farm workers.
Now,
they're
lucky,
out the farm when nobody out there. Say it again. Go ahead.
Exactly. I mean, they're thinking about controlling the farm workers from getting it to help keep our produce, you know, at high numbers, because, you know, we do need to eat, or whatever the case may be. Because, yeah, it's a business, though. So I don't agree with the farmers. I don't agree with the flight attendants, but for sure for the firefighters. I'll let someone else speak.
Go ahead, Ron.
Well, you know, whatever order ends up, you know, it's going to be controversial for sure. And not everybody is going to agree with who should get it first. I mean, that's normal. I do agree that, you know, first responders need to be first for obvious reasons. Our hospital workers, they need to be able to be healthy so that they could take care of the huge number of people that are ending up in the hospitals. And it's just going to get worse, by the way, you know, because now we're going into Christmas and a lot of people are traveling, and it's just going to be a lot worse, in my opinion, and from what I've heard, than it is right now. So, but I was going to say that I don't have a problem with other countries. You know, I don't have a problem, you know, sharing and having an equitable distribution worldwide, because this is a worldwide pandemic, and I think it's unfair, even though Pfizer is American, but BioNTech is German, I believe, and it was a partnership. I don't think it's fair for us here in the United States to get priority and leave the rest of the world out, even though that is what's going to happen. You know, I think the third world, my friends in Argentina were saying, oh, you guys are getting the vaccine already. We're probably going to be months and months before we get it, because we're third world, and he's probably right. But, you know, I know that the World Health Organization and other organizations are aiming for an equitable distribution, so that the poor people in third world countries have equal access to you know, this vaccine, because it's a human crisis, and it shouldn't matter whether, you know, from what country you're from, what nationality, what race, what ethnicity, how poor or rich you are. I think everybody should have access to it. So, but there's not enough to go around right now. So that's the issue. And you know, other countries ordered large supplies of the vaccine when our president only ordered, I think it was 100 million from Pfizer, if I remember right. But we've got 350 million people. So I know a lot of people are upset about that.
You know, one of the things
I got to agree with you, Ron, a little, and I got to disagree with you a little as well. I agree that it was the president's fault that he kind of held back. I mean, Americans should have gotten it at least before the Brits got it. I mean, come on, Pfizer's an American company, as we all agree on. I think Donald Trump held back a little bit from the American people getting it, so I'm going to point to the top. But in regards to the fact everyone getting it before America, I kind of disagree with that. I think it should be America first. And I think that's the mentality that got Donald Trump elected. And obviously I didn't vote for him, don't like him at all. But that America first mentality is what riled the people up and got him voted. So in regards to the who gets first dibs on the vaccines, I'm going to go with the American first logo, man. American first. Let us get the vaccine first. We created it. We came up with it. This is our backyard. We're the leaders here. We're supposedly be the number one country in America. So take care of your people.
And we have the
first.
Highest population.
Yeah, so no. I, with all due respect, Ron, I think it should be America first in regards to who gets access to the vaccine first. I'm proud to be American.
I understand that sentiment. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I love this country. I'm proud to be American. You know, I just think everybody should have access to it.
I totally agree, but somebody's got to go first. And like I said, that mentality is what got Donald Trump elected, is because sometime on the left we kind of have this I want to save the world mentality, but we got to save America first. So I'm just going to say it again. I'm proud to be an American, America first all the time.
All right. So one of the things about this vaccine from Pfizer, it has to be kept very, very cold. It 94 degrees below zero is the temperature. 94 degrees Fahrenheit below zero is the temperature the vaccine has to be stored. So moving it around and getting it to people is one of the issues that they're concerned that the government hasn't kept up with. And they knew this all along. But Pfizer, according to the original disbursement of the vaccine, there were 390,000 vials were the first go-around that was shipped on Monday to arrive to their destinations on Tuesday last week. And then UPS and FedEx are saying that they will jump up and help and do whatever they have to do to get the vaccine out. But the problem is that everybody wants to help, but the vaccine has to be stored at, you know, incredibly cold temperatures. So they have to be shipped in special containers and things and kept shipped with dry ice. But the other, there are other companies working on the vaccine, and we're hoping that they all, you know, can come up with it soon and we can get it back out there. But anyway, so we hope that everyone, you know, who is available to get the vaccine, they, you know, step up to the plate and go ahead on and do it so we can get this all cleaned up. Anybody else want to talk about anything about this vaccine piece? All right.
If I just button it up with this, that as an African-American, I know there's a lot of skeptics in our community, and obviously so because of what went on historically with the Tuskegee and all that, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to be one proud African-American to say that I think it's safe. I think we should all take it. I want to see everyone take it. I want to see everyone healthy. I do understand the skepticism in my community because of how we've been treated historically. But I think on this one, I think things are different. So I just pray that everybody who can have access to it takes the vaccine.
Well, yeah.
Why do you believe it's different with this one? Just out of curiosity.
Well, the Tuskegee, the syphilis incident, the first one, the one that's got all the black people in a row, was in 1932, and it lasted from 1932 to 1972. For 40 years, that experiment went on. I just think we're in a different time now. I think you could have got away with that back then in 1930. Obviously, they did. I don't think you could even get away with even trying to pull something like that in 2020. I think Pfizer wouldn't even think about trying to pull something like that right now.
That's true, yeah.
You know, people who are afraid of the vaccine, but really, according to a briefing document that was released by the Federal Drug Administration, they have a vaccine advisory committee, and they said the most common side effects were reactions at the point of injection on the body. You will have a little bit of fatigue, some headache, muscle pain, chills, joint pain, and fever at the most. But it's only like 4% will even have those kind of side effects. But I met a young lady yesterday who had gotten the vaccine, and she said that at the point where they gave it to her was kind of sore, but that was the only thing that she had. Severe adverse reactions occurred in less than 5% or 4.6 of the trial participants. So that means 4 people out of 100 might get some of those things happen to them. But at that number, I don't see why everybody isn't trying. I see that Darius joined. What are your thoughts on the vaccine, Darius?
I think it's awesome. I mean, it's a tremendous accomplishment. It just goes to show the ingenuity and the stick-to-itiveness of Americans and how we put our mind to it. You know, we can do pretty much anything. So I think that speaks volumes. In terms of having the vaccine, I think it's great that those who want to take it can and should. I've already spoken in terms of what my plans are, and it's not doesn't have anything to do with any kind of skepticism or anything like that. It's just, I have never even taken so much as a flu shot. And in my opinion, the risks aren't high enough for me to get vaccinated. I mean, we see that it's 98.07 or something like that percent chance of survival if you become infected with the virus. So to me, I just don't think those numbers are high enough as to where I would go ahead and give the vaccine.
Okay.
David, I have a question for the panelists that I've been curious about, because I've heard a few people, over time say that this vaccine is out in record time, warp speed, whatever you want to call it, but that nobody cut any corners, and I don't disbelieve that. I believe it. There were no corners cut, but the reason it was developed so fast was because they worked overtime on this and they worked extra hard on this. And I guess my question is why with this and not with other diseases we've had that have taken years to develop vaccines, like HIV is the most recent that comes to mind for me. Does anybody have any clues as to, does that mean that they didn't work extra hard and overtime with the other vaccine development? Well, actually, there is no vaccines for a lot of the diseases yet. They're still working on it. Any thoughts?
Ron, that's a very good point. I actually raised that question with a buddy of mine yesterday. I agree with you on that one. It's very curious to me. I mean, I remember in the 80s, all the money they put into coming up with a vaccine for AIDS and the Heal the World, We Are the World, and all that went into trying to come up with a vaccine for AIDS, and they still haven't come up with it. But in 2 seconds, you come up with one for COVID-19? Like, that does kind of throw me through a loop a little bit. I got to be totally honest with you.
Yeah, me too.
I guess because this virus, you would say, is affecting the general public, not segregated people, and that it's working on. So I guess our politicians who are in office had some discrimination against all the other types of people, because I do know lupus is maybe minority, and so AIDS, we know that was. And so, but this is probably one of the few that has come that has consumed the whole in the United States, everybody, and the others didn't. I guess that is why all this went into it, but it had to do with our politicians, I would think. Ron?
But David, that's not true. HIV is across the spectrum. You know, anybody can become HIV infected, and same thing with lupus. My nephew has lupus, and you know, so I don't know about that statement.
Well, there were differences, though. I don't know about.
Yeah, but I gotta agree though with Ron on that one, David. I mean, come on, we're talking 30 years they've been trying to come up with something for HIV, and they come up with nothing. And in less than 10 months, they come up with one. Like, yeah, it's just not adding up. It's just not adding up to me. It's just not.
And maybe some things are harder than others because they've been working a lot longer on cancer. Cancer is one of those things that they've been working on for that affects the general public across the world. And yet they have not come up with anything.
Yeah, but cancer is not a virus.
But right. It is something that they keep working at it, they possibly could cure it. They just don't know how or haven't put in all of the, you know, all the things that it's possible to do. It's not a virus, no, but it is something that is affecting the world. All right. So why don't we move on to something else? But let me ask, Michael, why don't you come up with something you want to talk about?
Yeah. Okay, cool. I want to talk about the incoming administration. And I think it's time as a country, even left-wing news media outlets that I listen to, it's time to look forward and stop beating up on Donald Trump. Like, I hate Donald Trump more than anyone else, but I'm tired of seeing the news media beat up on Donald Trump. Like, it's over. It's done. Let's move forward and focus on the future of America, the future administration. The diversity that we're seeing in the Joe Biden administration is just beautiful. His cabinet is starting to look like America. He's got people from all walks of life, and that's how America should look. So I just want to hear from the panel, if possible, who do they think should go into the cabinet or who they think should not be in the cabinet that's already in there?
Michael, I couldn't agree more with your statement about moving forward but it's so hard to do. It's so difficult to do with somebody like Trump. And the reason I say that is because he still hasn't acknowledge the fact that Biden won. In fact, I think all I shouldn't say all, never say all, but I think there's still many MAGA Trump supporters out there, including my brother, who just yesterday, I think it was, said that he is still 100% sure that Trump is going to be the next president of the United States. And I just I didn't say a word. I didn't even know what to say. So,
yeah, Ron, to that I say, a wise man once said, never argue with a fool because people from a distance can't tell who's who. I'm not going to argue with someone who's telling me Donald Trump's going to be the next president. That person's clearly a fool. I'm not going to argue with that person because I look like a fool for arguing with him. The way Donald Trump looks like a fool by saying he won the vote, he said he won by a landslide. He literally said that yesterday. He's clearly a fool. So why would I argue with this fool?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, Darius, what are your thoughts?
I'm a fool. A big fool.
Well, you should know it.
Oh my God.
I won't be as bold as to say that he's absolutely going to be the president. I don't think he's gonna be reelected. But I do think, I'm pretty certain, without a shadow of a doubt, that he did win the election by a landslide. So if that makes me a fool, then sign me up. There's never been an election where you can see the anomalies that have taken place in this one. You got all the eyewitnesses that have come forward. You've got all the testimony and evidence that they found. And it's just a matter of them having an opportunity to have that evidence presented in court. Now, this is also the first election where over 30% of independents and Democrats have said that they believe the election was stolen. 30%. It's a lot of fools out there. You know, you talk about 30%. of independents and Democrats, and then you got over 70% of Republicans that believe that the election was stolen. So I think it's quite a few fools that are out
well,
there.
Well, there is knowing is half the battle. Well, at least you know you're a fool, so you got half the battle won, so you're halfway there.
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate the compliment. I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Let's talk
now,
about
now moving forward. The Biden administration is going to look great.
Let's talk about Biden's administration. Let's look what's going on there. So, the first Native American person is the Interior Secretary. The first African American is to run the EPA. The first female to be Treasury Secretary. He has the first gay cabinet member. He has the first Latino Homeland Security Secretary. He has the first African American Defense Secretary and the first woman, first Indian American, and first African American Vice President. So it looks very well put together in terms of representing the United States. What do you think, Darius? What do you think about the cabinet?
I'd be interested to see the qualifications of these people. It looks like this administration is more concerned about checking off boxes than they are about getting qualified candidates. I'm not saying that they're not, Michael. So don't jump on me, Michael. I'm not saying they're not.
No,
I'm
no,
saying I
no,
don't.
No, it's not Michael.
I'm just saying I don't know. No, I'm just saying that I don't know because
ahead,
I'm only
Ron.
Saying I don't know because that's all you hear about is them talking about, oh, the first this, the first that, the first woman, the first black person, the first Latino. Like, all of that is well and good, but I'd like to hear a little bit more about their backgrounds, about, you know, what their experiences
fair.
Are and their qualifications are.
That's a fair statement, but I would go out on a limb by saying they're more qualified than Jared Kushner.
I was going to say, what did you say when Donald Trump hired Omarosa? Did you want to see her resume?
Wow. Wow. I forgot about her.
Exactly. I can't believe you, Darius. Come on now. Really? I could go down the list of people Donald Trump hired that are far less qualified than my 7-year-old. Literally.
Okay, Ron, what do you want to talk about?
We've already talked about everything I wanted to talk about. Politics and the virus, of course. I don't know. I mean, I did come across something today that I'm curious if anybody else has heard this, and this actually impacts me, and I'm a little scared because I heard in the news I was watching TV and I heard a class action lawsuit and I wasn't paying a lot of attention, but when I heard PPIs, which is proton pump inhibitors, and if you don't know what that is, it's antacids like Nexium and Zantac, and I've been on Nexium for years for my heartburn, and I just found out, and I don't know why I just found out, but that I'm at much higher risk of getting COVID-19 and even dying for being on this PPI, proton pump inhibitor. I guess my question is, why didn't I know that before? I mean, is it something I missed? Did you guys know about that?
No, but I think with all the research they're doing, trying to come up with a vaccine, they probably came across a whole lot of different things.
Yeah, I mean, I think they said that of the people, I think it was in New York that died, like 60 or 70%. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was a high percentage were on drugs like Nexium and Zantac. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, so I gotta take even better care now.
Right. All right, so Jeremiah, why don't you tell us what's on your mind?
Just a little bit of sports. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Speaking of that, Spencer, tell us what's on your mind other than sports.
That's all on my mind is sports.
Oh, my God.
Ready?
But think about it, David. We've been sports was taken away from coronavirus for months. So now, I said, think about it. Sports were taken away from us for months with the coronavirus issues. Now that it's back, you know, and NBA's back. You got the NFL. You know, you got college football, NCAA right now. So everything's full effect right now in December, honestly, when it shouldn't be. But hey, it is.
All right. So what does everyone think about McConnell making the he came out and said that the coronavirus relief deal has finally been reached, which now I think all Americans who or people who qualify, instead of getting the $1,200, will get a $600 stipend. And is expected to be passed in a few hours. It was done by forwarded by Senator Barroso, the relief bill, and it's been taking them and it's gone back and forth and back and forth. But they were trying to get it done before Biden gets into office. So, what do you think about that, Michael? You possibly will get half of what you got last time. Do you think that makes and the one thing I've noticed, there are a lot of people who are right now, the eviction statute
moratorium
came to an end. And there are all kinds of people really nervous about that because it was out, they weren't paying it and they're not making money. So I think $600 may not be keep anybody out of trouble. I mean, it helped, but not a lot. Wow.
Well, here's the thing, David. Literally, I'm watching it right now. Nancy Pelosi is getting ready to speak because they have reached the deal, and it's going to pass. It's $900 billion in total. And, yeah, you're only getting $600. But you're only getting $600 if you made less than $75,000 a year. Now, to that I say it's sickening to me to watch Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, a bunch of really, 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 really rich people sit in a room and tell poor people that $600 is all you can get. Like, something about those optics just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Which goes back to what I always say, there needs to be term limits on Congress members, blah, blah, blah. But the sticking point here, David, is Donald Trump going to sign this bill? Because keep in mind, Donald Trump is still the president of the United States. He can veto this bill. And I personally think out of spite and anger, he's going to veto this bill. So that's just my thoughts on that one.
What about you, Ron?
I agree with Michael. You know, but there are people, there's lots of people right now that are really, really struggling, hungry, you know, don't have enough money. So, you know, part of me says, you know, take what you can right now, you know, and it's better than nothing. But $600 is, you know, for anybody, no matter where you live, it's just a drop in the bucket. I mean, you can't survive on $600 a month. And there's lots of people that don't have work, haven't been able to pay rent, and are, you know, standing in lines, food lines for hours. You know, I've heard people that say that they've skipped meals so that they can feed their kids. And you know, this, to me, it's sad to see that in America.
Yeah, and to follow up on what I said, I just looked up the numbers, David. It's sickening to me that Nancy Pelosi's worth $100 million. Chuck Schumer's worth $200 million. Mitch McConnell's worth $80 million. So these three individuals are sitting in a room saying, how much should we give these poor people? And the number they came up with is $600. Like, that is just sickening on so, so, so many levels. And the people I named, those are liberals. Those are my people. Those are Democrats. So this goes around the board. It's the Republicans and the Democrats should be ashamed of themselves right now for only giving people in line starving $600.
Well, basically, it might be a matter of math. It might be that they've run out of money because of all the money they gave out before with the PPP loans, but they were all loans, so they have to be paid back. So it might be that the money is just not there anymore. like it was before, because they gave out and they were giving millions of dollars to people who didn't need millions of dollars. And I think that's one of the things that got us in trouble. And that might be one of the things that is causing this number when they do the math, you know, about how much money sitting in the bank and how many people there are divided by that. And plus they plan on bailing out small businesses and things like that. So it just might be a matter of number. But my thing is, the number would have been greater if they wouldn't have just the first go around passing out money to all their friends and business components. What are your thoughts on that, Spencer? Yo, sportsman, Spencer. All right. Oh, yeah, I can't believe he, wait a minute. Okay. What about you, Jeremiah? Spencer, huh?
Well, we're going to get into some sports, I guess. I'm a new sports guy for the next 5 minutes.
Wow.
So we're going to – somebody said something?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So we're going to start off by saying that we know that the Patriots are out of the playoffs this year. And
Wait a minute. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm talking sports. I mean, we've got 20 minutes left.
We're not talking sports yet. Sports comes on in about five minutes. Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, I'm just looking forward to sports. I'm sorry, man.
Oh, wow.
But, have us any hurt? I heard something today that said that Trump was trying to invoke martial law before he get out of office in the next coming weeks. Have you heard anything about that?
I did, but I also read where Trump is saying that is true. So untrue, it's fake news. He's already.
Yeah, that was fake news. Trump said he wasn't going to do that. That was fake news.
Let's talk about Georgia a little bit. You know, everybody's waiting for Georgia to vote because of the Senate. The two positions that are available in the Senate are in Georgia. And I have to tell you, some of the ads that they have been running every 5 minutes here in Georgia have just been, you know, they've been cutting each other down. But, you know, in the last couple of months, 76,000 new voters have registered in Georgia, you know, ready for the January runoffs. And as I pass early voting locations like today, cars are wrapped around. So far, 1.1 million people have voted in Georgia Senate races already. So it is, it's really, you know, President Trump will be in Georgia before the election to campaign for the candidates, for the Republican candidates, whereas Biden has been here campaigning for the Democrat. So, Darius, what are your thoughts on the Senate race and what's going on here in Georgia?
Stay tuned for a lot of fraud. That's all I can say. stay tuned for a lot of fraud. It's really, really tough for me to believe that Georgia has taken that big of a swing. You know, within these past 4 years. So I highly suspect, especially with all the new registered voters coming in, I highly suspect voter fraud. But, you know, it's going to be a close election. And, you know, you got a lot of people that are still upset about the results of the presidential election. So I don't know if that's going to work better for Ossoff and Warnock in their favor. Or are people going to be even more galvanized and motivated as before to turn out? But I also wanted to talk about, I didn't get a chance to chime in on the stimulus package. And Michael made a statement about Donald Trump vetoing it. But I don't know if Michael remembers that Donald Trump was trying to get this thing done way back in October or September. And it was for almost $3 trillion. So it was even almost $2 trillion more than what they're working on now. Nancy Pelosi all but admitted last week when they asked her, what changed? Why are you now sitting down and negotiating with Mitch McConnell about trying to get this package passed? And she said, well, we have a new president now. So she admitted and was detestable, despicable to look at her knowing that she held this package up, you know, all because she didn't want Donald Trump to get a political win.
I agree
so
with you, Darius. She did do that, and she was totally wrong for that. I agree with you on that one.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. But, yeah, that to me is no matter what side of the table you're on, you got American lives. People are losing their homes, their cars. You know, they can't pay their utility bills. And she admitted that she played a game with that just to keep.
And I'm
going to
say again, she's worth $100 million. She's got $100 million big ones in the bank right now. She's not starving at all. So, yeah, I agree
Absolutely.
With you. For her to stop people that are starving from getting $600 is despicable. But it goes back to what I always say, and I think as a Republican and I'm a Democrat, you and I can both agree, there needs to be some term limits on members of Congress. There just needs to be. Because Nancy Pelosi is 80 years old. There's no reason for an 80-year-old woman, no disrespect to the 80-year-olds. I got love for all of y'all. But I don't want you in there negotiating a trillion-dollar package that needs to feed the entire country. I don't want great-great-granny doing that. I just don't want that happening.
All right. So, Ron, what do you think about what's going on in Georgia? Where did Ron go? Oh, he's there. Ron. He must be taking a break. All right. So.
Hey, David, let me say this in regards to Georgia real quick. I mean, obviously, I want the left to win. I want both Democrats to win, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Warnock's going to win, and I think race is going to play an issue. I don't think they're ready to elect a black man to the United States Senate from Georgia. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Well, the way the lines have been, the way the people that I see voting, it might happen. But if it does happen, trust me, you're going to get a lot of it was fake. There were votes. There were people doing things that, you know, it's going to be a big mess. I think it's not going to be a quick and easy one. This is going to last for like a year. But it's just the way it's going to be, I think. Wow. All right, Spencer, we have sports queue is up. What's going on in sports that we should know about? Let us know what's in your mind, if that's all you think about. I have some questions, but I want to hear what you have to talk about.
Because
one of the things about we're not a very big hockey state, I don't believe, or country, but the hockey agreed to a 56-game season starting in January, and I know that the other franchises have agreed on certain seasons. So what's going on in terms of seasons for the for football?
Well. First of all, I want to go on with college football. I'm very disappointed in the playoff committee this year by putting the same teams in the top four that we just saw play yesterday. Two teams, one of the teams that lost is still able to play for a national championship, and I think is wrong. Notre Dame got blowed out. They shouldn't be in the they shouldn't be there at all. It should be the Texas A&M or even the other undefeated teams that they don't give a lot of love to, even though they say, oh, we love these Power Five. I mean, these not Power Five teams and all this and that, but they never give them a chance to play against the big dogs to see how they play. Just like UCF a couple years ago, I think it was 2017, they went undefeated. They didn't give them a chance to play, and they end up beating, I think, Oklahoma, I think it was, or somebody big inside one of the big bowl games, and went undefeated again the next year, still only finished like ranked eighth, and they went on to beat another good team in a bowl game. So, and this year you got Coastal Carolina. They went up against a Power Five team and BYU, who finished with one loss on the season. And their only loss was against Coastal Carolina, who was undefeated, and they showed that they could play. I just think you should give these for a chance, and you shouldn't put a team that just got blew out yesterday as number four team in the nation. I definitely should have think it should have been either Oklahoma, Texas A&M, one or two teams, but very disappointed, and I think they're going to get blowed out again. I think they got to play Alabama. I think they're going to crush them, and it's going to show that they don't belong there.
Should Notre Dame or Texas A&M be in the college football playoff? Because Notre Dame was.
That was the number two ranked team, but they didn't show that they could play up to that level yesterday. And they're definitely not going to do that against Alabama. Ohio State, it does. I think it should either be Oklahoma, Texas A&M. You know, if you lose, you drop. You know, if it was any other team, they would have dropped them. But for some reason, Notre Dame always get the blessing of the college playoff committee. So that's just my thoughts on college football.
Well, Oklahoma held off Iowa State and captured the Big 12 title. So where are they in the listing?
I think they finished sixth.
Wow.
I think that's their fourth championship in the last 6 years, something like that. So, you know, they was more deserving than Notre Dame. Also, Texas A&M was more deserving than Notre Dame, but they put Notre Dame there. So that's we got to see them get blowed out again.
You know, former President Barack Obama has been making speeches, and one of the things he believes is that college athletes should be paid for games. What are your thoughts?
I think now they're starting to get some type of stipend or something like that because the colleges are making bukus of money off these college athletes. You know, they're the ones, the players. And we know low-key that some of those, the superstar players are getting things under the table. It's still going on. You know, they catch them here and there. But, you know, I think some of the unsung heroes should be getting some of that, should be getting compensated because they don't always make it to the NFL and, you know, they don't spend their whole entire college career, you know, living and breathing and bringing fans to the stadium. So I think they should have some type of compensation for using their name and their likeness, you know, or, you know, to bring millions and millions and millions of dollars to these athletic programs. So I think they're giving them something, you know, depending on the program, depending on how much money they have, you know, things of that nature, but they could be getting more.
So you think they should be paid, or do you think it should go into scholarship to pay for their schooling, or what do you think?
Yeah, it's something of that nature as far as either because some goes on a partial scholarship. I don't understand if you're on a full scholarship. But some go on a partial scholarship. Those guys, yeah, it should help towards their scholarship, should help towards their dorm room fees, book fees, something, you know, on top of the financial aid if they're receiving that. But, yeah, I think it should go towards something of that nature. It may be what do you call it? An allowance. You know, you can make stipulations that is an allowance towards school fees and things of that nature. They can make it happen if they wanted to make it happen. I understand they're not professionals, but they play like professionals, and they give – it's a lot of money into college football, especially college football, and, you know, for them not to just getting pennies, I don't think it's fair while they, you know, hurt their knees off. Back injuries. You saw the guy in college basketball. He was just walking and just fell flat on his face. Bang. You know, good thing that he's doing better now. But, you know, just things like that that you just never know. And I think you should get compensated for it.
Tell me about
I like that also, David.
Go ahead. Who was that? That was Jeremiah?
Jeremiah.
Yeah.
I would just like to say as well, just apart from injuries, the livelihood of the game, whether it's football, basketball, whatever sport it is, you know, understandably you're receiving a scholarship, whether it's a full ride or partial. You're putting, you know, your body on the line for that school, your family, and yourself as well. So I think there's, you know, these colleges make tons and tons of money in the excess of $50 million a year for their sports team. That's not even adding that you have donors, you have donations, you have contributors, you have alums that contribute. You know, if you look at some schools' recruiting allowance, it's millions of dollars to recruit kids, to fly out and see kids and things of that nature. So if you guys use so much money on recruiting, so much money on facilitating, and you make so much money, why is it not that these kids can try and gain as well some type of financial? Coaches are getting paid. Everybody else is, even water boys are getting paid. Everybody's getting paid except the athletes. You're getting free education. But now this sports is so lucrative now, as you can see, that even NBA guys or NFL guys are getting $200 and $300 million contracts. So the college teams are making, you know, over $50 million, $100 million per year just from their sports team. So I think whether or not it go towards, even if they did have a full ride, you know, some of those kids' families are deprived in certain areas. You know, they could do things for their parents as they wish they could do before they get to NFL. So just things like that. So whether it's actually taking care of your family back home, whether it's taking care of yourself and buying you some things of that nature, like, you know, something, not no flashy, crazy stuff that, you know, Louis Vuitton and Gucci and all this fancy stuff, but just really taking care of yourself. You're allowed a stipend to take care of yourself at a different level, and then you're granted the rest of that money once you actually leave and declare for the NFL draft. That's what I think should happen.
But to me, the converse is also true, that a person is going to college to be educated, and now you're saying I'm going to get a lot of money if I play sports. Okay, so I'm not going to try to be a doctor or lawyer anymore. I'm going to be sports, so because I can get paid while I go to college.
Why don't they just tie the money to the grades? Like, you make the grades, you get the money. You don't make the grades, you don't get the money.
But check it out.
Why segregate that?
Yeah, you got to make the grades to get the money.
But so you're saying that the person who throws a ball should make money for going to college, but the person who is studying sciences and everything, who's very smart, getting all A's, nobody should know who that is, and he shouldn't get anything for it.
It's not about the person throwing the ball making the money. It's the fact that the college is making money off of the person throwing the ball. So since the college is making money off the guy throwing the ball, the guy throwing the ball should rightfully so be compensated. That's just fair.
Every time that a college sports team is on TV, they receive money from that? There's tons of ways that these colleges make money.
Yes, but then again, tell me right now in Miami, who's the number one sports person in college? You could tell me that, but you can't tell me who the number one intellectual who got all A's and is the smartest person in your colleges. And I think that's
right. But, David, now you're arguing against capitalism. You're arguing capitalism now, David. That's capitalism.
Respectfully, listen to this. Respectfully, if that person that's going to be a doctor, if he's made some great achievements with science, just like if this person, whoever helped contribute to making this vaccine for the coronavirus, would be attributed. Now, sports and academia is two different things. When you're going to college to be someone that's not in sports, you can't raise up, do that person get a certain amount of attention as a sports player because you're not playing sports. You're going to get paid for what you're doing.
You're saying the person who plays and throws a ball is at a higher level, which I say is royalty, which I think
is royalty. I didn't say higher level. We said.
Well, you're going to pay them. You're going to pay them because they are doing something better.
Because they're getting money off what I'm doing. For free.
I tell you what, no business should pay their employees 21, and I want Trump to approve that, since that's the case, because guess what? Those kids are more than working for that school.
Well, I got to bring all this to a close right now because we're out of here in 3 seconds. So I want everybody to have a very blessed and Merry Christmas. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
We're going to get back to that sports talk, I tell you.
Yeah, we're going to get back to that.
It's all about the U, baby.
All about the Dolphins.